Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see each one of you here this morning as we've gathered to worship the one true and living God. I'd like to extend a special welcome to any guests who may be worshiping with us. It's a delight to have you here with us today. So receive this call to worship from Psalm 107. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. So can you say with me this morning, God is good? Can you say with me this morning, God's love endures forever? Amen. God is good, and his love does indeed endure forever. So would you please join me in prayer? God of peace and of grace, we gather this morning in the light of your love. We thank you that you have freed us from our sins through Jesus Christ's shed blood. Open our hearts today and make us receptive so we can know more clearly how to communicate your love that endures forever to a hurting and a broken world. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you join the worship team in worshiping the Savior of the world?
Let's start this morning by reminding ourselves that God has everything in his hands. He has everyone in his hands, the people that you love deeply and the people that get under your skin. He's got it all in his hands. Would you stand with us this morning?
He's got the whole world in his hands. 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 He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the wind and the rain in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the tiny little baby in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got you and me, brother, in his hands. He's got you and me, sister, in his hands.
Ushers may come forward to receive the offering, which is for EMM, and the coins also for the children on my coins count.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells all his love and good work he has been. Honor all things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad. Will you join with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. And we do thank you for your love, so much love that you sent your Son to die for us. And we just thank you for that gift that you have given us. And as pray as we worship here this morning and raise our offerings as part of our worship, that you would just bless these funds that go to EMM to help them spread your gospel throughout the world. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh,
Sometimes that is intimidating to us to be responsible to share the Lord with people, but he's a gentle shepherd, and he's leading us in paths of righteousness that people will get to know him. Prepared Larry to share with us, and I pray that our hearts would be open to all that you have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, greetings to each one of you in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Today we're going to be continuing our sermon series, Help Wanted, based on Matthew 9, 35 to 38, where Jesus saw the crowds of people and had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This series is intended to help us to grasp hold of the urgency at hand, but also hopefully give us a few tools in sharing the good news. Last Sunday, Pastor Tony shared about wise witnessing from Colossians chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul says we should be wise in our conversations with unbelievers. Our conversations should be filled with grace and seasoned with salt, meaning that what we say should be tasty and encourage more dialogue instead of maybe speaking disrespectfully to someone and shutting down conversation or dialogue. Now, it seems to me like if you want to learn something well, one of the best ways to do that is to study under someone who's a master at whatever it is you want to learn. Whether it's running a business, whether it's learning a trade, whether it's learning how to play a sport. No one was better at winning souls for the kingdom than Jesus Christ himself. Luke 19 verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." So it makes sense to me that if you want to learn how to talk with people, if we want to learn how to talk with people about the good news, we can find no better teacher than Jesus Christ himself. Now, this message is going to be in two parts because we have much to look at and consider about Jesus teaching us to be his witnesses. It appears that Jesus seldom, if ever, used the same approach twice. He tailored his approach to the individual that he was speaking to. Just a quick example, consider the differences in Jesus' approach when he spoke to Nicodemus in John 3 And then Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well that we're going to look at today in John 4. I'm going to leave you with the opportunity to explore Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. Today and next Sunday, Lord willing, we're going to look at Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well. So first of all, let's read John chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 26 this week, and next week we'll look at verses 27 to 42. So John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was getting and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." So this text falls into three sections. First, there's the setting of the account in verses 1 through 6. Then the conversation between Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well in verses 7 to 26, and that's going to be our focus for today. Then we also have the results of the encounter in verses 27 to 30, Jesus' conversation with the disciples in verses 31 to 38, and the result with the Samaritans in verses 39 to 42. Now, before we look at some principles from Jesus' encounter with this Samaritan woman, I believe it might be good to have some background information. Jesus left Judea and headed north towards Galilee to avoid conflict with the Pharisees because they were becoming more and more jealous and nervous about Jesus increasing popularity. Now, John says that Jesus had to pass through Samaria. Samaria was the region between Judea and Galilee, so in one sense, there was a geographic necessity to pass through that area. Now, we need to understand that there was this intense hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans. The hatred was so intense that most Jews would take the longer route and avoid going through Samaria completely. So perhaps John wants us to see God's providential necessity for Jesus to travel through this region. Jesus' encounter with the woman at the well, although perhaps seemingly coincidental, I believe had been divinely appointed or ordained by God. So we can say that Jesus had a divine appointment in Samaria. And I strongly suggest to us here this morning that we as born-again believers also have divine appointments or divine encounters that are orchestrated by the hand of Almighty God. May we have spiritual eyes to see those opportunities and be faithful in our response to them. So Jesus, tired and weary from the journey, remember he was a human, he sits down by Jacob's well with the disciples that had gone into the village for food. And again, we do well to remember that this hatred between the Jews and Samaritans is very intense and was due in large part by an intermarrying between some of the Jews and foreigners, which created this mixed race, which this woman at the well was a part of. So let's see if we can glean some principles from Jesus' encounter with this woman at the well that maybe can help us to fulfill our roles in building God's kingdom. So number one, contact others socially. Given the cultural hostilities, Jesus could have very easily just sat quietly by while the woman came to draw water from the well. But instead, he initiated the conversation by asking her to give him a drink. He asked her for a drink because he was weary, and I imagine he was probably thirsty from the journey. Now, this woman was probably a social outcast, and she had came to draw water at a time when the least amount of people would be at the well. That would have been at noon. It was customary for the women to come twice a day, once in the morning and in the evening. But she apparently had quite a reputation with having five husbands, and the man that she was currently with was also not her husband. But the point is that Jesus initiated the conversation. Jesus, being 100% human and also 100% God, knew all about her, but that didn't keep him from having this conversation with her. So the challenge for us here today is, how many times do we ignore someone that we come in contact with who may have a questionable reputation, or is someone that we may consider to be a social outcast? Because what would it look like if someone saw me talking to that person? So I asked you the question this morning, who did Jesus hang out with? Am I, are you, are we more concerned about what someone else may think of who we're interacting with if they would see us? Are we more concerned about what that person would think of us? Or are we more concerned about someone's eternal destination? You see, it seems to me that the longer someone is a Christian, the greater the chance that they lose contact with non-believers. Now, please understand, the friends that we hang out with is very important because our friends are very influential. But I submit to you that we can't reach the lost if all we do is hang out in our holy huddle all the time. Yes, we need that fellowship, that coming together, interaction, that fellowship. But we also need to be aware that there is a whole world of people who are lost and need to hear the good news. Number two, establish a common interest or a link. The woman was a Samaritan, member of the hated mixed race. She was known to be living in sin. She was in a public place. No respectable Jewish man would talk to a woman under such circumstances. But Jesus did. The gospel is for everyone, no matter what race, social position, or past sins. We need to be prepared to share the good news at any time and in any place. Jesus crossed all barriers to share the gospel, and we who claim to be his followers must also do the same. In this situation, Jesus was tired, he was weary and thirsty, and he didn't have anything to draw water with. This woman obviously had something to draw water with, so Jesus simply asked her for a drink, which opened up the conversation, which opened up an opportunity for the conversation to go a lot further. So the common link or interest was the water. Number three, take advantage of the opportunity. Jesus was alert and took advantage of the opportunity, turning the situation and the conversation to spiritual things. The woman went to the well that day, probably to perform a task that she had done many, many times before. She had no idea when she left home that day that her life was about to change dramatically. Jesus saw the open door and he grabbed the opportunity to offer this woman the water of life. Number four, cross cultural barriers if need be to reach people. Jesus was not afraid to be contaminated by drinking out of the Samaritan woman's cup, nor was he afraid of talking privately with this woman about spiritual things. Although Jewish rabbis viewed Samaritan women as ceremonially unclean. Now, please understand, we do need to be very discerning and wise when it comes to having conversations with someone of the opposite gender. That's why, as Pastor Tony shared last Sunday, it's so incredibly important to be engaged in prayer and also listening very closely to the Holy Spirit's promptings as we attempt to share the good news. My sincere prayer is that none of us would harbor any racial prejudice that would keep us from speaking to someone of another race about Jesus. But maybe we may have to overcome some cultural issues. For example, would you speak to someone, let alone talk about spiritual things, with someone who is openly gay or transgender? Or maybe You avoid an obnoxious person at work or at school rather than trying to build a bridge that could lead to an opportunity to share the gospel. Maybe that obnoxious person is a social outcast, like the Samaritan woman was, but they still need to hear about Jesus. And they need a born-again believer who is willing to risk public scorn to build bridges, to build relationship that may open the door to talk to them about spiritual things. Help wanted. It's time to lose the weight and get on the move. Number five, stir up interest by your life and your words. Jesus used both his actions and his words to stir up or to stimulate the woman's interest. The mere fact that he, a Jewish man, would talk to her, a Samaritan woman, asking her for a drink, that grabbed her attention. When she commented on that in verse 9, he further stirred up interest by his reply in verse 10, when he said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you'd have asked him and he would have given you living water." He was using salt to wet her thirst, like Pastor Tony shared last Sunday from Colossians 4:6. "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Jesus didn't drop a theological bomb about some doctrinal truth on her, but he skillfully led her along in conversation. Now, Bill Fay, the author of the book Share Jesus Without Fear, offers some helpful questions that can be used to stir up interest in the gospel. Questions like, "Do you have any kind of spiritual belief?" Or, "Who is Jesus to you?" Or, "If you died, what would happen to you?" His advice is to listen intently to the person's response without arguing. But then there's this final question that can stir up even more interest. And that last question is, "If what you believe were not true, would you want to know? Would you want to know?" Bill Fay says it is very rare to get a firm no to that question. So stir up interest by your life and the words that you speak. Number six, use the natural to explain the supernatural. Jesus used this principle repeatedly. Here in John 4, he spoke first of water, and then he spoke about living water. In John 6, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he then referred to himself as the bread of life. In John 8, Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, and there are many more examples that we could look up with or look at. The woman at the well here in John 4 was probably more concerned about her physical needs than her spiritual need. But Jesus used her need for natural water to lead her to see her need of living water, as he used the natural to lead to the supernatural. And number seven, avoid arguments. This is important. In verse 12, the woman insinuates that Jesus could not be greater than Jacob, who gave them the well. Perhaps what she was saying is, "Who do you think you are?" Now, if Jesus would have been proud, he very easily could have set her straight. He most likely would have won that point. But he also probably would have lost the woman. Then the woman tries to draw Jesus into a centuries-old debate between Samaritans and Jews about the proper place to worship. While Jesus tactfully corrects her misconceptions, he refuses to argue with her. We need to very clearly understand that arguments do not lead sinners to the Savior, even if you win the argument. The reason is that in an argument, your pride gets involved. You want to prove that you're right and the other person is wrong. But the real issue is being missed in an argument. Sure, the other person's thinking may be wrong. They may be wrong in their understanding. But pointing them to Jesus, the Savior, is so much more important than persuading them that they're wrong. The Apostle Paul gives us the right approach in 2 Timothy 2, and I'm going to include verse 23 also. Don't have anything to do with foolish and stupid arguments because you know they produce quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not quarrel. Instead, he must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful. Those who oppose him, he must gently instruct in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, so they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. You see, that's exactly what Jesus did here in John 4 with the woman at the well. Jesus did not argue, but neither did he allow her errors to go by without correction. He also exposed her sin, but dealt with her kindly and graciously. He didn't point his finger at her and say, "You're a wicked woman, and unless you repent, you're going to hell." Rather, he gently pointed her to her need without condemning her. We must find that same balance that Jesus used here. But do it graciously, pointing them to the cross, which leads to the final principle, which is stick to the main issue. Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well could have very easily veered off into a debate over Judaism versus Samaritan worship. Now, that may have been an interesting exchange, but it would have left the woman in her sins. Jesus shows her that it is not an outward religion that matters, but rather whether we worship God in spirit and in truth. Then, when the woman brings up the promise that the Messiah will come and he will explain everything, Jesus straightforwardly declares in verse 26, "I who speak to you am he." And now at this point, she has a choice. Is he or isn't he? Do I believe him or don't I believe him? Jesus brought the conversation back to the main issue. Now, obviously, we can't claim to be the Messiah, but we can bring the conversation back to the main issue: Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And next week, we're going to look at some more principles that Jesus teaches us about witnessing. But I want to conclude this morning by asking you a very pointed question. And that question is this: are you drinking from the water of this world, which never fully satisfies, or have you and are you drinking of the living water that Jesus gives, which Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. May we drink deeply of the living water, because if we're not drinking deeply ourselves from the living water, it'll be very difficult to tell someone else about the living water. Would you join me in prayer? Father God, we indeed thank you for your word. Thank you for this example in Scripture of how you spoke to this Samaritan woman at the well. And I pray that as we think about that encounter, that you would help us to see the need to stick to the main issue. Help us to avoid arguments which do not lead to you. Help us to drink deeply from that water ourselves so that we can share that living water. Because you say that when we drink that water that you give us, that living water, it will become a spring of water welling up to eternal life within us. So we ask, Father God, that that would be the case, that we could drink deeply and that spring of water would well up to eternal life in our lives, and we could also share that with others around us who are in need of knowing you. So I pray your blessing upon us as a congregation. I pray you would empower us through your Holy Spirit, that we'd be in tune with you, listening to your voice, and sharing the good news with those around us. May it be so. In the powerful name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
God forgive. Share.
boys and young men need a call to something greater than themselves. This is the Trail Life. Trail Life USA.
Good morning, everyone. So you saw that. How many of you, show of hands, have ever heard of Trail Life? Oh, quite a few. Good. So I'm a leader with the Navigators group. These boys here are in Trail Life as well. So Trail Life is similar to other Scouts programs that are out there, with a little bit more of a intentional Christian message linking any of the teachings that we do or the outings we go on. And it's not just a boys' activity program, but they label it like a men's ministry. So these boys, I would say, are on their way to being men. So part of it is just, you know, giving that Christian message, helping boys grow up into godly men, but also for the men that help, leaders, dads, just helping. I've learned quite a bit through this program as well, so just helping minister to men that are in the program as well. So that being said, we have a spaghetti dinner coming up. So we're having a fundraiser. It's all by donation. It's going to be at Pine Grove Church just down the road here. So funds that are raised through this go to help with troop fees. We have a very focus on just keeping costs low for the families involved, so the events that we go on, the outings, troop dues, any other fees, that kind of stuff. We try and keep those costs as low as possible so that we don't have to, you know, keep people out of it if they can't afford one of the outings or just the troop dues or something like that. So any donations would go toward helping with that. And if you want any more information, we will be at the back of the sanctuary after the service. Thank you.
Larry said this morning that Bob and I are supposed to figure out who goes first. And he said it has to be an arm wrestling match, so that's why I'm second. We won't tell the rest of the story. I'm here this morning to give a couple different announcements. First of all, next Sunday, which is February 9th, is the second Sunday in February. The adult class that meets in the overflow and the adult class that meets down in the basement will be meeting here in the sanctuary. Reasoning is Saturday night is the Valentine's banquet. Sunday is Luke Horst's funeral here, and they're going to need a table set up. So we decided instead of doing it twice, we're just going to let the table set up Saturday night and then Sunday evening or whenever they'll take care of it. So adult classes will meet up here next Sunday. The fourth Sunday, which is the 23rd, we will also be meeting up here, all the classes, to do the video review, which is lesson number 50. Hopefully you can remember that all that. And so Sheldon and Sheila Brubaker will be leading it next Sunday up here. They're going to tag team, not wrestling, but tag team as far as teaching. One of the other things I want to say is thank you. Obviously to Larry. The next thing I'm going to talk about is give you a review of what we did in the last, a review and kind of what all is happening with Flowing Waters from the past year. Grateful that Larry has stuck behind us and allowed us to start meeting here at our church. For Paul Weaver was always there for us at the beginning and still is. The reason I say this is I know you know that I'm always late. This past Tuesday night, we had our Christmas dinner for the Flowing Waters group. The last time that I shared, I think we had maybe 19 people that showed up to the that meal that we had for them that my gracious wife cooked for them. Well, this year, throughout the year, we have had a lot of growth, and new people have been coming, which is great. So we were trying to figure over it, so Anita kind of knew how much to make, and we figured with everybody that was saying was coming would be around 30 people. So we had great a great turnout, and yeah, Flowing Waters is growing, which is great. Reality is I sat down and went over it once I had time, and we fed 40 people instead of 30. So I want to thank you as a congregation, because a lot of that you guys have helped with. There's numerous people in this congregation that I can pick a phone up and say, hey, can you run this guy to his PO meeting, or can you take this guy to work? And a lot of you have helped, and I appreciate that. If I stand here and tell you that we have growth and it's great, I'd be lying. I'm not sure why this is happening, but we did walk through some hard times this year. One of our guys is back in jail again due to arson, homicide, and some numerous other things. So I tell you that because keep praying. We need lots of prayer. I ask for you to pray for Brian Horst, Floyd Shirk, and myself as we continue to do what God has called us to do. I also want to say, keep praying for this town of Bowmansville. Last Tuesday night, I got a phone call for someone calling me and asking for counseling for drug and alcohol counseling, so I'm trying to figure that all out yet. And also Tuesday night, there was a guy that overdosed out here in Bowmansville, Sal, which is, I know who he is, I met with him a couple times, but maybe many of you might remember Jacob Crawthor, Thor, I think is his last name. Jacob would have played on the Marlins for many years for Kerry Haller. So I say that because Jacob lost his mother maybe a little over a year ago. He lost his father, and now he lost his brother. So just pray that we could somehow get in contact with him and just be there for him. So thank you all for your prayers, and remember, next Sunday we will all be up here. Thanks.
So thank you, Rick, for that update, and do continue to pray. Just want to say one thing, Rick. Larry also says you should always tell the truth. So that thing about arm wrestling wasn't what I'd said. Also a reminder that tomorrow night is the Thrive Parenting classes here at the church. So would you stand for this benediction? Peace be with us all. As God sent Jesus, so God is sending us. May we go out in the power of the Holy Spirit to be His witnesses. And may the peace of God go with us and surround us throughout this next week. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a wonderful week.